Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. But I'm going to change it today. We're going to talk about a half hour of chocolate power. Yes, I love chocolate. Absolutely love chocolate. And that's what we're going to be discussing for the next half hour. And my guest, Cal Ori, who's been on the show with me before, this woman is an incredible researcher. And her books, she had one on vinegar and one on olive oil, and they were just incredible. But when I got this one that had the magnificent sight of shredded chocolate on the front, I said, oh, absolutely, Cal, we've got to do this show. The Healing Powers of Chocolate. Cal, welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. Hi, everybody.
Well, it's so delightful to have you. And chocolate is absolutely so special in my life. It's one of the things, if I have a yearning, a craving, that's the word I'll use, a craving for something sweet. If I have a piece of, let's say, candy of some kind, it doesn't do it for me. It hasn't for a long time. But if I have a good piece of chocolate, it is heavenly. And I just love what one of the sentences in your book, that when you eat your chocolate, you must start out with high-quality dark chocolate that makes you basically moan out loud. Audible moaning is a good thing. Okay, you've got it thrilled. It's okay. So when you make sure you got a good piece. If it's, you know, the cheap stuff, forget it. Just eat it. But when it's really good, it's just like, oh. And that's true. That's why it's so much fun. Is it, you know, that's why guys finally learn. This is what you give your gals to really make them feel good, gal. How in the world? Now, I remember the last time we had you on the show, you were talking about something like this possibly coming about. And I said to you, boy, Cal, if you're going to be doing this, get in touch with me. And sure enough, you did. Now, this is a marvelous book. It's absolutely awesome, all the information in it. How long did it take you to do all of your research that you've got in this book about chocolate?
Well, actually, the research is about a year. And I write fast because I have a master's in creative writing. That's the easy part. But I had to understand some of the terminology and, you know, interview all the chocolatiers. So that's what's time-consuming. And then I break it down into Cali's and I write it in first-person narrative. So anybody can understand this because, you know, some of it's a little bit technical about the antioxidants, the health factors, the making from bean to bar to chocolate, but I make it so it's very easy to read. A 10-year-old, a 50-year-old, an 80-year-old can get it, and I like to use, you know, a little sense of humor in it, but it's informative, too. It's an easy read, so you can learn everything you want to know about chocolate and more.
Well, I'll tell you, I was a little envious because you said you'd taken a trip to Europe, and you had the hard, hard job of doing taste testing. I mean, this is really a difficult part
of
doing this.
No, Donna. I didn't get to go to Europe. No.
Oh.
I embellished that. I said that I wanted to, and I pretended that I did. And I mentioned all the places that I would go to if I did. But no, I did interview a chocolate critic, a very well-known one who does travel to Europe a lot. And most of the chocolatiers are from Europe or have been there. And my mother did go when I was a child, and I had an anecdote, which maybe you're thinking of, where I talked about how she left our family when I was 10 years old, and she was off in all the places I wanted to be, and I was stuck at home eating Oreos and the unhealthy chocolate. So, you know, I was a chocolate person from a kid, but I've turned into a chocolatarian, and I love that term.
A chocolatarian. Oh, yes. Hey, that's ageless. I love
I know,
that.
I
okay,
know.
Folks. We now have a new term we can describe ourselves with, a chocolatarian. You got it. I'm going to make a sign about that.
But what that means is that I incorporate chocolate into my diet probably 5 times a week and in different forms, not
mm-hmm.
just a truffle or a piece of chocolate, but in a homemade chocolate muffin made with unsweetened cocoa or in a mole with, you know, I'm a vegetarian for the most part, but you can have a mole with turkey, you know, ground turkey and lean turkey. Desserts. You could have, you know, a gourmet all-natural dark chocolate ice cream. There's more than 50 recipes in the book, and they're all created, not by myself, by the way, but they're all created by pro chefs. So the recipes are to die for, and they are healthy. They're definitely healthy. And the main fat we use is olive oil, not butter. But I do, when I bake, I do use European-style butter sometimes, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I combine it with olive oil and flavored olive oil.
Well, my husband went on a business trip, and he brought me back this beautiful red sign that says, chocolate is cheaper than therapy, and you don't need an appointment. I have this situated right in front of my desk so I can look at it every day.
What a thoughtful husband. Well, you know, he is spot on.
Right.
When I finished this book, I called up one of the chocolatiers, or he called me a couple days after, and I said, you know, I'm feeling so down. You know, maybe it's like a baby in postpartum blues. He goes, no, Cal. It's the feel-good compounds in chocolate. And, of course, I wrote about it. I mean, like on page 38, I discussed them in detail, but there's endorphins. Dark chocolate, like exercise, you can get that natural painkillers in your body that act on the nervous system that alleviate pain and make you feel really good after a run or a swim or a walk. There's PEA, and that's it's a brain chemical that actually increases the blood pressure and feelings of excitement and alertness. And it's also been called the love drug because it can mimic feelings of falling in love. It really can. And also serotonin, another brain chemical. We've all heard of that. You know, during the winter months, if it's really dark where you live, you know, the sun's not shining, you can get depressed and have seasonal affective disorder. By eating just a small piece of the dark quality chocolate, it can give you a feel-good effect as well. It can make you feel happier and improve brain power. I just did that the other night. Actually, I was feeling a little bit blue, and I had some work to do with the computer.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to my file cabinet, and I had great chocolate that I hadn't tasted, but it was just sent to me by a chocolatier. I just had a little square, and I'm telling you, I felt so much better. And there's not a lot of caffeine in quality dark chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't the caffeine or the sugar that gave me that good feeling, because there's not a lot of sugar in the quality chocolate. And so many people, they don't know this. You know, this book is somewhat progressive. A lot of people still think that if you eat chocolate, you're going to gain weight. It has tons of caffeine. It has too much sugar. But those are all
myths.
No,
that's not true. That's
exactly.
Not true.
Exactly.
Not at all. In fact, your good quality chocolates, the fats that they use in them because cocoa, if you were to have any of those cocoa nibs, I'll never forget a good friend of mine that said, oh, I use this as a snack. And she gave it, and I put one in my mouth, and I went, oh, boy, this stuff's bitter. I mean, you got to have something to go with it, but it is something. The flavor of a good chocolate, they use just a certain, it's high quality all the way down the road. It's a big difference from buying a cheap candy bar to having a real good piece of chocolate. It's just like in baking. When you use a lower grade of chocolate, you don't have the richness of flavor that you have when you use a higher quality of chocolate. It's the difference is like night and day.
Exactly. And it does have monounsaturated fat, just like olive oil. Sure, it has some saturated fat, but it has the good fat too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I tell people, you know, I'm little. I'm like I always boast about this because I'm 57 years old and I have still that little girl's body. I'm 5'5", 122 pounds, and size 4. And I take pride in that because, hey, I get to eat my chocolate and I swim too. But I do eat the Mediterranean diet. You can't eat chocolate and then wolf down an unhealthy diet and be sedentary. If you want to be little like I am and stay little all your life, which is healthier, what you want to do is follow the Mediterranean diet, which is in my other two books, The Healing Powers of Vinegar and Olive Oil, and basically it's just eating really, it's part of a heart-healthy diet. It's so simple, just eating whole grains, fresh fruit, seasonal, fresh vegetables, fish in moderation, olive oil in moderation, red wine. I don't drink, but if I did, it would be red wine in moderation. Nuts, definitely. They have the good monounsaturated fat and even a little bit of dark chocolate each day. And you see all these studies coming out that are showing that dark chocolate in moderation or cocoa, actually drinking cocoa, that can help you stave off cancers, heart disease, lower your blood pressure, and it can even help keep you lean because it satiates your appetite. It curbs your hunger. It truly does. I don't eat junk food, sweets at all. When I bake, I do it for a column I write, but I use all healthful ingredients like whole wheat, 100% whole wheat flour, olive oil, and the good chocolate. So you can do that. And then I get a move on. I swim like 5 times a week. So as long as you, it's a whole combination package. And if you do that, you definitely can eat your chocolate and stay healthy too.
Well, I love what you mentioned about some authors, because you did interact with so many people to put together the information for The Healing Powers of Chocolate. And I love this, the author of a national bestseller, French Women Don't Get Fat. And he said, French women eat chocolate about 12 pounds a year on average. They also eat bread, but French women don't get fat. Well, there's one very big statistic that has come out over and over again. And again, when we're talking about chocolate, often people will say, oh my goodness, I'll put the pounds on. And I think your points are very, very well stated, Cal. But what happens is that in Europe, people walk. We have a friend that has been built like an apple for most of her life. It's just the way, she's just that much overweight. She looks like a little apple. She went to Italy and was in Italy for 2 weeks visiting relatives. She didn't change her diet at all. She dropped 2 dress sizes while she was over there. The difference was she was moving. She was walking. She had to go to the store every day because they were not living in, her family relatives were not living in an area of, Italy where they had a 7-Eleven on every corner or a major shopping mall. So they had to walk to their grocery store. And this is very typical in Europe. People
that is so true. That,
very
and
typical.
I forgot to say. I forgot to say that I have 2 Britneys with French roots, and they're a type A dog. And if they don't get their walk daily, it's like if I don't get my swim. So I forgot that. I also get the walk. And I did get 2 dogs on purpose. I didn't want to get sedentary in my 50s, and so they keep me on my toes. But it's a good thing. And, yes, definitely. I have read that, and I believe that. And there's another woman that has a best-selling book about the French don't get fat, too. Without a doubt.
It's really interesting, and I think that what has happened in America, I know up here in the Pacific Northwest, for you to get from point A to point B, everything is so spread out, so you're usually going to take your car. So you have to be mindful about moving. But let's get back to chocolate, because you have some wonderful information in here. This is very good reading. You talked about chocolate pioneers, and you mentioned different chocolatiers, and many of them came from Italy. Let's talk about Ghirardelli in San Francisco. I mean, that is a landmark that millions of people go to. It is an incredible facility right in the San Francisco Bay Area. It is just amazing, this huge brick building that they're in. And people go in there, and they'll ship stuff all over the world. I mean, you have people from all ethnic backgrounds that go in there. Tell us a little bit about that history with Ghirardelli.
Well, actually, Ghirardelli, I was fascinated, and I do have San Francisco. It's an underlying theme in this book because I'm from San Francisco, the Bay Area. Yeah, I'm looking at this in the book about the pioneers. They go back into the 1800s, 1849. Domingo Ghirardelli of Italy started creating chocolates in San Francisco. So you talk about history, my goodness. And they were there even through the great earthquake in 1906, and I thought that was fascinating because I predict earthquakes. So yes, the roots are strong there. Definitely. And there are, he's not, it's not the only one in San Francisco. There's definitely other chocolatiers, but some have closed their doors in the past couple of years. In fact, when I was doing my research, a couple of the biggies, closed their doors in the East Bay of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Because the recession has, it's funny because chocolate sold well during the Great Depression, and now as we're still dealing with the Great Recession, chocolate's still doing good, but some chocolatiers are being challenged, just like, you know, a lot of us are.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that a few of the companies did shut their doors when I was interviewing them, like Charles Chocolates. I think I sent an editor out there, and she did some research for me, and then it closed right after. But
mm-hmm.
I still included the information because they have another store in San Francisco, but, you know, the factory went down
mm-hmm.
where you couldn't just watch the chocolate being made. But chocolate's not going anywhere. I mean, again, there's, you know, it's going through changes as the economy is going through changes.
Oh,
but,
well, of course. But now
right.
chocolate, let's do a little bit of background on this. Chocolate is basically grown in South America, but there are some other spots in the world where people get chocolate from. Is it Madagascar? Is that another area where they get chocolate from?
I don't know about that, but that you asked that question, and what comes to mind immediately is that just the day before yesterday, I noticed on the internet that Hawaii is the only state in the nation that actually can do the bean from bean to bar.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually do have one of the chocolatiers from Hawaii mentioned in the book, and, you know, a resource list on how to get their chocolate because of the climate. It has to be warm enough. You can't you can't grow chocolate like in the South Lake Tahoe where I live, where it usually snows in the wintertime. You would lose your whole crop.
Oh, of course.
So it has to be warm.
Now, one of the things I wanted to share with you, many, many years ago, I had a neighbor. She was going to college, and she was studying medicine. And one of her professors at this college, and this was in, she was going to Alumni University that's there in the Glendale area. And she was under the tutorage in one of her classes of this professor who was talking, she had a rare class on nutrition, and she was talking about chocolate. And she told Sandy, she said, if everyone would have chocolate in their diet on a regular basis, they would be much, much healthier. Now, this is a long time ago, and Sandy said this woman at the time when she was acting as a professor, she was in her 70s, and she said it's healthy for the blood, it's healthy for the entire system, and she had learned this. She had learned about chocolate when she was an intern that was going to South America, and I don't remember what area of South America, but she said it. She has her chocolate. She had her own recipe for making chocolate. She shared it with Sandy, and she said, have this as a regular part of your diet. And what was so fascinating is that Sandy's mother was an herbalist, and she had been involved with the study of herbs for years and years and years, and she confirmed with Sandy what her professor said. She said, chocolate is a very good deal. And so let's come to the point, because you have so much nutritional information in here. You have history in this book. Herbal tea and luxury chocolate. Now, herb teas, we know that there's something, they have benefits to them. Everyone, you can go and you can read research on it. But now, according to what you have here, chocolatiers and chefs are using dark chocolate and herbal teas together.
Yeah, that's what's so fascinating. My brother, we're very close, and he was watching me being spoiled because I would have boxes of chocolates on my doorstep like three times a week through my research.
Oh, envy, yes, I can understand.
I know, it was wonderful. And he didn't understand, I think he does now, he didn't understand that it was a treat because each time it was different. I mean, imagine these chocolatiers are competing to get the best tasting chocolate or truffle, and they're infused with cinnamon, ginger, lavender, licorice, marshmallow, mint, nutmeg, rosemary, vanilla, and each time you bite into just a small piece of this, it's just amazing because it has different flavors,
mm-hmm.
and it's like you want to go to the next level. Oh my God, this tastes so wonderful. You know, it's tart or even apricot with the fruits and cherry. You get so many different flavors, and then when they blend them, it's like you want to get to it. Just to a better place,
mm-hmm.
or with grapefruit, which I love, and lemon. It's just
It's awesome. Chocolate and orange is,
it is
one of my favorites, but chocolate and ginger, I just go, I know,
I love that. I made scones with that, and it just combining the two, it's amazing. And once you get in, also, I must add, it's an acquired taste. I started off with 48% dark milk chocolate, and that was to die for. I mean, the ingredients were all natural and very simple, and it was wonderful. And then I graduated to the 50%, 60%, and 70%. And it takes a while. You know, I guess it's like acquiring a taste for olive oil or yogurt. You know, it takes a while, but you can do it. And then an easier way also to do it is to enjoy the infused dark chocolate with nuts for
mm-hmm.
the crunchy texture, or with the herbs, like we said, the spices and the fruits. And when you do that, you get a natural sweet flavor because, again, the quality dark chocolate, it isn't filled with sugar. So there's still a lot of very conservative nutritionists out there that are saying, oh, no, you can't eat chocolate. But you're going to get fat, you're going to get heart disease, you're going to get diabetes too. And this is so not true if you do it right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying go out and buy a Reese candy bar. You're not going to get the antioxidants that you get and all the compounds that you get with the quality,
mm-hmm.
prestige, or gourmet chocolate.
Right, and that's the key. Now,
I
want to share a recipe with my audience because you have some superb recipes. I'm just going to read off a couple of titles before I get to one. The Sicilian fig cookies.
They were
to die for.
She made them for me.
I mean,
they
if
were
you
so good.
Really want to get porky, you want to do a good job, have the Sicilian fig cookies.
They're
with
wonderful.
Good coffee or tea and espresso. I mean, let's face it, invite a lot of people over and just really have a good time. That recipe is in her book. It's absolutely wonderful. But I want to give the recipe out for the chocolate walnut drops because these are just delicious. So I'm going to read the ingredients, and they're so easy to make. So if you've got a pad of paper and a pen handy, then go for it. Now what you're going to need is 5 tablespoons of dark Dutch cocoa. You want fine quality cocoa. And you want the dark. You don't want the milk chocolate. You want the dark. You need 1/2 cup of sugar, brown sugar, packed in tightly in a cup, 1/2 cup, 1/4 teaspoon of baking powder, 1 tablespoon of espresso coffee powder, 1/2 cup of whole wheat flour, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of baking soda, 1 egg. You want that at room temperature. You need 1/4 cup of olive oil, 2 teaspoons of vanilla, 1/2 teaspoon of black walnut flavoring, 2 tablespoons of milk, and you may or may not need it, 1 3/4 cups of walnuts, and you want them coarsely chopped, and 1/2 cup of white chocolate chips. Now, this is what you do. You preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Get your cookie sheets all ready. You know, spray them with your nonstick cooking spray if you want, or if you have those parchment sheets, whatever you like to use. Get your cookie sheets all ready. Now, in your mixing bowl, you put your dry ingredients, all of your dry ingredients together, and then you make a well in the center. You add your egg, olive oil, vanilla, walnut flavoring, and milk. And I would recommend that you blend it with whisk it with a fork, put it all in one bowl, and just whisk the wet ingredients together. And then you stir your batter until it's blended. You add your walnuts. And then you drop this mixture. I told you it was easy. Drop the mixture by teaspoonfuls 2 inches apart on greased cookie sheets. You bake the cookies for 14 to 15 minutes, cool them on a rack, and then what you're going to do is frost them. And how you do that? You melt your white chocolate chips in a small bowl. You do it in a microwave, or if you have a double boiler, you just do it over the double boiler, and then you just spread it on top of the cookies. Just dip a spoon in and just have a blast just going over the cookies, putting the white chocolate. It makes about 36 to 40 cookies delicious. And
yeah, these are wonderful. They're created by Gemma Shabika. She's an old Italian. She's a dear friend of mine. She's, I don't mean old in age, but an old, she comes from
the
old world.
Country cooking, yeah.
Yeah, from an olive oil producer. And she has about 15 recipes that I sprinkled of hers throughout this book. And she's the one that made the Sicilian fig cookies for me. I received them on Christmas Eve, and it was such a treat because I was looking at her cookbooks, and that's the one I wanted, and I didn't know how she knew. I'm very close to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's an amazing cook. She really, really is. So any of her recipes in this book, be sure to try. But they're, you know, some of them are by top chocolatiers.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you have the appetizers and breads. You have a simple fudge from a chocolate organization, very chocolate muffins that are from a very well-known San Francisco chocolatier that he knows his chocolate. And there are sauces for your moles, a Sicilian mole that
mm-hmm.
is great. There's even a cocoa pasta. And there's a spaghetti with ricotta and chocolate. Hawaiian Vintage, the company I told you about that was in Hawaii, Hawaiian Vintage Coca Bean Curry Shrimp. It's just a chocolate pumpkin layer. The recipes here can take you through the whole year again and again and again. They're amazing.
Just wonderful. I love
the
chocolate biscotti you've got in here. There's so much fun. Now, she has a section on chocolate cures. She also has a section on wines with chocolate.
Right.
Which I think is just absolutely fabulous. She talks about tours that you can take. If you are a chocoholic, then you can go ahead and, you know, just be happy as a chocolate clam wandering through all of these different tours. She's got such a marvelous array of information, the healing powers of chocolate. And if you wanted to give the book as a gift to a friend, if you had somebody that you just didn't know what to get them and they love chocolate, this would make a wonderful, wonderful gift here. Now, you also talk about chocolate spas, and I had to chuckle because when I was looking through your book, See's Candy has been around forever, mm-hmm. and I have very vivid memories of the Lucille Ball. Every time I see it, of course they show it frequently, where Lucille Ball is working for a candy company and she can't keep up with the chocolates and she's
mm-hmm.
stuffing her face in her dress and it's just hysterical. And so it's just as funny today as whenever they did it. But I look at that, and that always comes to mind. And I think of See's Chocolate. I know a member of my family used to work in their factory, and they'd come home with these boxes of bonbons and all kinds of things. They've been around for a long time, too, haven't they?
They have on the West Coast. I grew up on that. And it's funny, I did go out in the field for my birthday, and I did hit See's in Reno, and I went for the dark chocolate only, and they have quite a bit. They're actually
mm-hmm.
keeping up with the times, but they have the other unhealthy stuff, too. But that day, I was treated. You can use chocolate externally, and this is becoming more and more popular, and I was treated to, this is such a wonderful experience, and you can find it no matter where you live, a chocolate bubble bath. It was so wonderful. It was at a four-star. No. It was at a four-star spa, and they put me in a room. It was dimly lit with New Age music. They had a huge bear claw bathtub with 140 jets, and then they had the cocoa powder, so the aromatherapy effect was going on. They gave me two homemade house truffles because of the hotel. It was wonderful. For 30 minutes, I died and went to chocolate heaven. It was the most decadent experience. And, you know, I didn't gain anything. I mean, from two truffles.
What a way to go.
It's
just marvelous. You have a nice little poem in here I want to share with my listeners.
If you couldn't tell,
we're really enjoying our chocolate. This is a chocolate sampler. It says, dark chocolate I like a lot. Milk chocolate too tame. It's not like when I was a tot and ate sweets with no shame. Then chocolate chips could pass my lips as fondly as a kiss. Hot cups of cocoa in sweet sips produced a state of bliss. A scuffle for a truffle would endanger the loss of a friend. I never could eschew a chew or a caramelic blend. They say the Olmecs harvested the bean and treasured it to no end. Columbus brought it to the queen to start a royal trend. The nectar would be taxed so high the peasants could not pay. Nobility would shut their tea for cocoa every day. Now single origins the price for devotees, I've heard. The Swiss and Swedes would say likewise, since they have gotten word. There's Baker, Hershey, Lindt, and all competing with the best. Eye Saver competition's call. Let's have a chocolate fest! Jim Berkland of Glen Ellen, California. I think that is awesome. I love that.
He is a wonderful poet. He is a geologist. We just finished a wager for the next 6.0 in California, and I won. He sent me $100, and nobody was really hurt. We have the 6.5 offshore Northern California. We have this wager for 3 years. I've won him twice. He needs to stop, having these bets with me. I'm very intuitive. I just knew that it would happen. And again, you know, it was a strong quake, but nobody was, you know, really badly hurt. And there wasn't that much damage. So that's what I was hoping for, that it would be far enough offshore. But he's a wonderful poet, and you read that poem so well, Donna. He'll be thrilled. He's a Leo, and it'll just flatter him that you read his poem on air.
Well, I just love it. Your book is so much fun.
It is.
I mean, I think if you had a bunch of friends and you'd say, okay, we're going to have a chocolate party, we're going to get the book, and we'll share the recipes, and each of us will work a recipe, and then we're going to have a chocolate party.
What a wonderful idea.
I think that would be a blast. And everybody could sample, and they could all get little, you know, they could talk about the cookie parties. Why not have a chocolate party where everybody brings a dessert or something made with chocolate?
That's a great idea.
You know, it would just be a lot of fun. Your book is terrific, Cal.
I wanted to share one last thing. This is a great treat. It was accepted by a book club, One Spirit Book Club, and there's six of them. And I just found out about a month ago it was accepted by the Good Cook Book Club. I was so flattered because the recipes, again, are wonderful.
Yes, they are. Well, Cal, we're out of time. Quick like a bunny. I only have about 30 seconds here. What's your website?
Okay. CalOrey.com, and you can find the book at any online bookseller, and it's in actually real stores, which is a challenge because there's so many books out there. But if it's not in your Barnes & Noble or main local bookstore, just ask your the person there to get it for you, and they could order it for you.
Cal Orey, it's been a delight having you as a guest. The Healing Powers of Chocolate. Ooh, this is a must-have. It is just delightful. This is Donna Siebel. Cal, thanks again for being
my guest.
We're
Bye-bye.
Taking a break. We're going to be right back.
The Northwest Women's Show, presented by Assurant Health, is a show that's all about you, your body, your spirit, your life. 400 exhibits, free samples, and best of all, shopping with fabulous women's show specials. Meet Amy Roloff from Little People Big World and cosmetic cop Paula Begon. Bring your questions to Hollywood celebrity stylist and creator of Wynn Hair Care Products, Chaz Dean. Make it a point to attend our free seminars and be inspired by topics that can change your life, like channeling your inner strength, weight loss strategies, and women's self-defense. Plus fun and trendy fashion shows from JCPenney. And backed by popular demand, Seattle's hottest firefighters. Favorite authors Ann Rule and J.A. Jantz. The Women's Show, presented by Assurant Health. March 5th through 7th at Quest Field Event Center. Sponsored by Bartell Drugs, American Family Insurance, Puget Sound Energy, Snoqualmie Casino, The Seattle Times, and King 5. For show information, go to nwwomenshow.com. The Northwest Women's Show. It's such a girl thing.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? these are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi. Are you still with me, or did you go out and buy some chocolate? I'll tell you, that was so much fun. And Kel, she's just a doll, and her books are just absolutely wonderful. But the one on chocolate, I'm really serious. It makes for a wonderful read, and it's loaded with recipes. So do go to her website, calori.com. Well, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, I would be delighted to do exactly that. The telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And I want to mention again, and you're going to hear me mentioning this until I reach my goal of 100 stories. I want to hear from you about stories about the paranormal, unique experiences that you have had that have made a difference in your life. Now, that could be anything from seeing a ghost, or it could be a near-death experience, but I'd love to hear your story. And you can send it to me via email. That's right, I'm doing 100 stories. I'm collecting them from different people. And in the book that we're putting together, I will have some of my personal experiences as well there. But I really want to have all kinds of people's experiences, because it's important that we be able to share, so that people that maybe have had experiences, instead of being terrified by them, can understand that they're not alone, that this is something that has happened to other people as well. So if you'd like to send me your personal experience with the paranormal, send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. And put in the subject line, The Donna Sebo Show, or story for your book, or something that makes me aware of the fact that you're sending me your personal story. Now, if you'd like to send it to me via snail mail, that's fine. You can send it to The Donna Sebo Show, that's S-E-E-B-O, Show, and that's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. So, and you can check my website if you've missed the address or anything, then just go into my website, DelphiInternational.com. You'll find all of the contact information there. But I would be delighted to hear from you. Now, we're doing a countdown. It's going to be not this weekend, but next weekend, the Northwest Women's Show. Now, you're hearing the ad about the show. It is absolutely marvelous. If you're in the state of Washington, and hey, you may fly in for it, I don't know. But we have people coming in from all over the country. This is a show that I believe is in its 18th or 19th year. We have well over 40,000 women that come out every year. They put the stuff on their calendars and saying, this is a gal weekend, and it really is. And on the 5th, I'm going to have a 6-woman forum. They're speakers. We're going in the first hour. We're going to be talking about fraud and how to protect yourself from that, dealing with different money aspects. Second hour is going to be about energy healing, and the third hour is going to be about animals. 6 dynamic women that are going to be a part of this interactive talk that will be at the Girl Talk stage. So I'm really looking forward to this, because it's just such a joy to be able to interact both with those of you that are going to be attending and also with these very special ladies who are going to be a part of this. And then I'm going to be speaking on your inner psychic mirror on Saturday and Sunday at the Women's Show at 11:30. And that will be at the seminar stage. So I invite you to come on out, stop on my booth, which is 407, and say hello. I'll be doing many consultations when I'm not speaking. I'll be available for that, and I'm going to have a slew of books that you can peruse through and decide maybe you want to take some of them home with you. But anyway, it's going to be a dynamic 3 days. Look for the bright yellow banner that says the Donna Sebo Show, and you'll know you're in the right place again, booth number 407. I'm really looking forward to this. As I said earlier, we've got open lines here. If you'd like to give me a call and let me light up your life with insight, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. All I need is your first name or initial, and after that, I'll be sharing with you what I perceive, and then you can ask me a question about anything you like. The other day, I had started, but we ran out of time, I had started to talk about a microflyer. Now, have you ever heard of them? Well, I'm sure that you have heard about drones. If you've watched the news, you know that some of these drones that are sent out actually are used as weapons against different places. Well, the Predator drones, which we hear about, they've been used in Afghanistan and Pakistan. But now a new generation of smaller flying robots are evolving. Now, we all know that people have had model planes and other things, and now they've got the robotic stuff that people work with. But this is becoming more sophisticated. These micro flyers, they feel, are going to be used on military missions and also on innovative humanitarian ones as well. Now, the University of Waterloo in Ontario, Canada, has developed a flying robot about the size of a pencil eraser. Does that put a picture in your mind about how little this is? The size of a pencil eraser. Now, this is what it's like. There's a pair of laser-operated finger-like grippers that allow this bot to grasp and release small objects. It can be operated wirelessly, and it's powered by a magnetic field. Now, this is what they're wanting to use it for. They're wanting it to be used with the human body so that they can put it inside the body, delivering targeted drugs. But he said he's got the bot has a jittery patterning to it, so it doesn't work very well in the human body. I think it'd be sort of uncomfortable to have the feel of these little wings fluttering inside you, checking things out. What was the name of that movie? Maybe one of you can call in and tell me. It was years and years and years ago that this movie was put out where they had reduced like a submarine or something. I never had the chance to see the movie, but people had told me about it, and it would go through the body. There's a specific name for the movie. This is what we're talking about now. They've actually evolved from that time frame that was like a science fiction type of a possibility, and now it's becoming more and more probability. There also is a mechanical engineer, Haibo Dong of Wright State University in Ohio, that is working on a four-winged robot called the Wright Dragonflyer. And now this design is more difficult. Now I've got a picture of it in front of me. It's beautiful. It's really quite pretty. To create, it's much more difficult to make than a two-winged flapping system. But they say it's going to have greater speed and maneuverability. It's trying to have a prototype. And it'll be about the size of a real dragonfly. So that's a fairly good size. Said this small craft could perform surveillance, environmental monitoring, and search and rescue. Harvard University is in on the action as well. They are building a life-size mechanical fly to create a colony of robo-bees. I'm telling you, the imagination is unlimited here. Little flies. Take a look at those little flies and just imagine a fly on your wall that might be a robot. That gives you pause, doesn't it? Well, these robots, these little fly robots are trying to develop, will incorporate optical and chemical sensors as well as communication systems to make autonomous flight decisions and to coordinate with colony members during tasks such as searching for objects or people. And Of course, the military is going to be in on this as well. The U.S. Army is teaming up with BAE Systems and academic partners, including the University of Maryland and the University of Pennsylvania, to build microflyers for intelligence and surveillance through its Micro-Autonomous Systems and Technology Collaborative Alliance. Now, this is what the military says. A long-term goal is to develop technologies that can produce a map of a building interior or detect bombs. And current prototypes include a sparrow-sized flapping wing craft and four-blade helicopter-style robot. They say they're going to have a consortium this spring and invite the military in to review the current state of the developing technologies. Well, Orwell's 1984, we are here. It is here big time. And I'm sure you've heard about the school that sent laptops home with all their students and it had surveillance system built in. And my question is, if privacy is going to be insulted and invaded that much, who of you out there can tell us how to protect our privacy? Because this kind of an invasion is not something fun to look at. That's my particular bias. That's a Donna statement. Anyway, we're taking a break here for just a moment. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. This is Donna Sebo, 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. And quick like a bunny, I know we've got a caller on the line waiting. Tomorrow is going to be an open mic day. So you'll be able to call in at any time during the hour. Every once in a while I like to do something like that. I have all kinds of subjects. Thursday, if you want to be fit and fabulous, by golly, you're not going to want to miss Teresa Tapp. She's going to be my guest on Thursday. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking about atoms, Einstein, and the universe, real science for real people. Robert Piccioni is going to be my guest. Let's go to our first caller for the day. Hi, I understand it's Penny from Pennsylvania. Where are you, Penny, in Pennsylvania?
Near Clark Summit.
Clark Summit. One day, I hope to be able to...
It's great.
Oh, I bet you it is. Okay, Penny, let's get down to business. The first issue is money. That is what's coming into my head very, very strongly. Now, one thing I want you to be alert to, I want you to realize you financially are going to be doing better starting in 2011 than you have done in the past couple of years. The reason that's going to be the case is that you are taking a very firm, disciplined positioning about working with money. And I'm looking at you doing reading as well as listening to certain programs or audio tapes, something like this, could be radio shows, discussing money and the use of money. And you're saying, I'm taking charge of this because I am going to be in a positioning of financial solvency so I can do the traveling and do the things that really are important to me. Now, there is a very strong shift in your thinking. and the materials or circumstances that you have been evolving through, you're saying, I don't want to go through what other people have gone through. This, I am taking a positioning of assertiveness with this. And there is an aggressive direction of discipline that you're going to put into place. So I have to compliment you, because I don't know that many people would be willing to do this, but you are. And you're going to find yourself creating some new friendships with women who really like working with money. And it's as if there is this alliance, and I'm seeing you all linked with your arms together. Who knows? Maybe you're going to become a part of an investment group that gets together maybe once a month to do some thinking and brainstorming, and you share information with each other, and collectively you work as a team. But I'm seeing you linking arms, and this is figuratively, with people and saying, I feel good about this. And there's this trust, there's this understanding, and it really is doing, it's going to serve you very, very well. So keep up your objective and have it somewhere where you can look at it every day. If you have to set up a whiteboard, look at it, because you definitely are going to reach your objectives. It is going to take work, it is going to take patience, and it is going to take follow-through. But I'm not seeing you making any missteps here. You are very, very determined, and it's going to work. What's on your mind, dear? What did you want to ask me today?
There's a lot, because we've been through a lot with my now ex, but he had attacked one of our daughters, and she's having a lot of problems, but we have been struggling all the way through, right up till now, but I want to move really bad from where I am.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't found a place either.
Well, I think it's going to be over a year before you actually move.
We've been here for almost four.
All right, but don't be impatient. What you really want to do is exactly what I said earlier, is continue the determined search, maybe enlist the aid of some other people, and if you know the area that you want to go to, just say keep your eyes and ears open. And just keep watching, because you are going to find what you want. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
We did that with one person, and she's a real estate woman, but she has never contacted us back.
Well, hon, you're going to have to do your due diligence. You're going to need to check with her, but I wouldn't just use one person. If you know...
I haven't. We told everybody. I mean...
You're going to need to be patient, and you need to be deliberate, and that is what I'm looking at you doing, and you just know that you're going to find a place. Sometimes, let me give you an example. Let's say you wanted a two-bedroom place, and you wanted to live in a certain section of town, and you wanted to have certain things around you, close-in environment. And maybe the area of town that you want to be in, people just aren't moving out very long. So what you do, you just, you know, write out exactly what it is that you want, focus on it, and don't worry about who's going to provide it to you, who's going to give you the link. But sometimes people just are not, they're not moving right at the time you want, something available.
Yep.
So you just keep looking at it. And I think of a young couple. They had put down... shortly after they had gotten married, that they had wanted a house that was about 2,200 square feet, and they wanted a yard because they had animals, and they made a list of everything that they wanted about the home. Well, as it turned out, it was 2 years, and they accidentally, if you will, there are no accidents, but in their case, they said they were invited to someone's home, and they had never been in the area where this home was located. They go to the home, they were late in arriving, and they find that there's a number of places that are up for sale. And by golly, here is this house, brand new. And the wife walked into it and said, oh, my goodness, I could live in this house. And the husband goes, uh-oh, now we're in trouble because she's found one she likes. Well, as it turned out, they found that the house was exactly, when they got out their list of what they had wanted, it fit it to a T. So they waited 2 years, and they had gone through a lot of places. So don't be impatient. I don't see it being found this year.
Okay.
So just hang tough. Just keep saving your money. Count your blessings. Be grateful for everything and just say, I don't know when it's going to come about. You might get a call from somebody that says, you know, on this street, such and such is happening. And if you know the area and you just maybe check with somebody that works that area, but talk to different people and say, still looking, keep your eyes open for me.
Oh, yeah, I've called departments I've already called about, and they say they'll keep my phone number. They keep the phone number, so I've called different. People have it.
Well, that's fine, hon. I'm going to have to go. I'm running out of time. I'm sorry, but you'll eventually get there, but I don't see it happening real soon.
Okay.
This is Donna Thiebaud. My goodness, we're out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Tomorrow is an open mic day. Lots of good bits of pieces of information to share with you, and you'll be able to call me at any time during the hour. We'll talk tomorrow. Again, you are the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a fabulous, fabulous time wherever you are. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Thiebaud Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Thiebaud Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.